hear that song. It's one that I always associate with my mum. It's just one of the ones that we used to sing. She plays piano or keyboard sometimes in certain churches where I grew up, and it's a lovely hymn. So if you're new to it, I hope that you will learn to enjoy it as much as I do and enjoy expanding our repertoire. And I'm very grateful to Deborah for all that she does in terms of helping us to be encouraged to explore and sing new things. It's lovely to welcome you to our service. Before we get started, just a couple of notices. The first is that on Wednesday evening at 7:30, I think, in the sanctuary, we have the APCM meeting. Please do come along and find out everything that we've been doing over the last year and a little bit about our hopes for the future moving forward. I have to say, in the process of compiling together the reports of what we've done, I have been very encouraged, and I hope that it will be an encouraging meeting on Wednesday, even though obviously there are still a handful of challenges, but the challenges that we can engage with and overcome. So let's look forward to that occasion on Wednesday. On Thursday evening, it's the 80th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day. There will be a choral evensong service happening at Holy Trinity at 7 o'clock, which will be assisted by the Wickham Chamber Choir singers, and they will be singing and doing the anthems and things for us, including singing a piece that has been arranged by a local musician from Beaconsfield called The Fallen Soldier that promises to be a very moving and reflective service, looking back at the price which was paid during the Second World War for liberty and has been paid since by so many, and an opportunity to pray for the world in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. So please do come along and join us on Thursday evening for that. And then on Sunday, we will be having a United Benefice service at Holy Trinity, because at the end of that service of Choral Evensong, there will be a candle lit that will remain lit right the way through, hopefully until the service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, where we will then pick up on the theme, moving from a reflective note to a more celebratory note, looking at the triumph of good over evil in the light of a resurrection of Jesus from the grave. So please do come along to that next week, and then it will be the usual pattern of services thereafter. Last notice is just to say a slight warning about the sermon today. My hope and prayer is that I won't be saying all of it. And I'd like to just give you a moment while the service is happening to have a think about whether you would like to take part in a slightly experimental sermon where I will be talking about the value of testimonies and our stories of getting to know God initially or since. And so if anyone has a short testimony of a minute or so of something they would like to say that God has done in their life or how you came to know God, I will have the microphone, David will probably use the lectern one here, will invite you, if you would like to come up and share some of your stories so that we can be encouraged by one another. Slightly experimental, might not work, but hopefully it will be good. So don't be too worried, but let's see how it all goes when we get there. All of that said, we've started by practicing a hymn. Let's stand and sing together our first hymn, which is number 21, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood. just to fill in a gap that I missed in the notice. The joint service next week is at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We are gathered here in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, and forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for our Bible reading.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Having heard the conversion of Paul, let us stand and sing together hymn number 19, Amazing Grace.
Save the wretch.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were all together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was him. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." He said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? We have heard just now two testimonies, two stories of pivotal people in the early church whose lives were transformed by an encounter with a risen Jesus. On the one hand, we have Peter, who has traveled with Jesus for many years, searching and looking and exploring all the things that Jesus was doing. And yet, along the way, Jesus often said to him and the other disciples, "Do you not yet understand what is happening?" We have him there in the Last Supper saying, "Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you die, I will die with you." And yet in the courtyard, before the cock had crowed twice, three times, he had denied Jesus. We have, on the other hand, Paul, the child of Jews. He was born a Pharisee, grew up within that culture. He studied, he learned, he knew the scriptures, and he was counted as righteous among them. We know that his mentor was Gamaliel, a rabbi who we heard mentioned in our reading last week, and who is still a significant rabbi within the rabbinic tradition, even today, on certain moral issues. They'll point back to him and say, well, as Gamaliel says, this is a good thing to think. So Paul trained under this influential person. He knew it all. He was holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He was righteous and anti this Christian malarkey. And we heard at the beginning of our Acts reading that he was breathing threats of murder and slaughter to men and women who were daring to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Two key figures who are in different ways rejecting the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And yet they have these experiences which transform everything. Peter finds Jesus on the shore, asking him three times, one for each denial. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? And that third time, we get the sense that Peter's heart was broken because he knows that he denied Jesus three times. And yet he says, Lord, you know everything. I love you. And the verse afterwards, we hear that Jesus talks about how Peter is to die. One day he will be dressed by someone else and his arms will be stretched out and he will go somewhere he does not want to go. For Peter, as tradition tells us, dies by crucifixion, but unlike Jesus, he is crucified upside down. But he does not ever again deny Jesus, his Lord and Saviour. Paul, on that journey along the Damascus road, sees a blinding light, a light that shines with divine revelation, much as the bush was on fire when Moses approached it. And he hears a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And he goes off into Damascus. His sight is covered. He cannot see. And a man called Ananias comes to him, whom he has seen in a vision, and prays over him. And having been prayed over, his eyes are healed, and he gets up and is baptized to begin a ministry around all of the churches, a ministry where he will be beaten, arrested, persecuted, slandered, and accused of all sorts of things. These two stories are so comforting to us because they are stories of people that we can identify with. Peter is perhaps like those of us who have grown up Christians, knowing the teachings of the Bible, who have not always understood what it means, until we get to that point where we realize, actually, yes, I do understand now. This is my faith and not just the faith of my parents and my family. Some of us have had situations quite different, where we have been very opposed to the gospel, where we found it an implausible thing to believe. It seemed crazy, it seemed strange. It's not what our household does, it's not what science says, or whatever reasons we might have had. And yet in the midst of that, God has somehow encountered us and changed our hearts, very much as Paul experienced, very much as we have sung through Amazing Grace. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Both kinds of conversions and experiences are good and valid, and both happen throughout the church and the world today. These stories are not just stories in the Bible, but they are the stories of God with his people. And just as we have the stories of Peter and Paul shared with us, we too can share our stories of how we have come to know God. My story doesn't begin with myself, it begins with my mother's father, Canon John Short, as he would go on to become. He, when he was a teenager dating my grandma, went to one of the first Billy Graham crusades in London. And he went there not sure what to make of it. He'd kind of been encouraged along because it would be a good thing to go to. But as he listened to Billy Graham preach and teach, about an hour in, the penny dropped. And he realized everything this man says is true. There is a God, and Jesus died for me. And in that moment, he knew the grace of God for himself. And he knew that he was forgiven if he confessed his sins. My grandma had had a slightly different experience. When she was a young child, about 8 or 9, she was allowed in those days to leave the house and go and see her friends on a Sunday morning. But her friends lived at the far edge of town, and walking through town on the way to see her friends, she saw that there was a Sunday school filled with children, and she thought, well, why not go in there and meet some friends and do something fun? After a few months, she came to the point of wanting to be confirmed, and she said to her parents, I'd like to get confirmed, actually. And they're like, you've been going to church? What's this about? A little girl going out to see friends has gone to church and found God. My mum grew up in a Christian household and had a moment on a Christian summer camp where she realized, yes, actually, this is for me. This is my faith. It's not just something I've been taught, but something that I believe. And I had a similar experience. I grew up with my dad being a vicar and my mum being a committed Christian. But even though they were good Christian people, like many marriages, they went through a season of difficulty. There were many arguments and frustrations and grumblings that particularly as a young child I found quite distressing, especially when there were raised voices. One night I went up to where my bed was. I had a high-up bed with a desk underneath and a wardrobe next to it. And at the bottom of my ladder, I crouched down and I prayed, Lord, if you are really there, please stop my parents from arguing. Within about 10 minutes, that argument that night came to an end. And within the next 2 weeks, arguments that had been going on for what felt like months stopped. And as I climbed back up my ladder into my bed and got under the duvet, I was surrounded by a sense of cozy peace, like I was held and supported, floating, like on a cloud or within a warm marshmallow, something so safe and peaceful. And I've grown up ever since believing that God hears our prayers and is there. I've had many other experiences. You've heard some of them on previous occasions. But I'm not sharing my stories to be about me. I'm sharing this because this is what the church does. We point to where God has been in our lives, and we encourage one another with them. Now, if anyone would like to, David has very kindly got for me the microphone. If anyone has a moment that they would be happy to share, put a hand up. And I will come to you and let's hear one or two moments of things that God has done in our lives as a church. Who's going to go first? I've got John.
Thank you. About 35 years ago, Jan and I were at the service here, and there was a young woman called Emma who had been diagnosed with cancer. And she was going in on the Monday to have the final meeting with the surgical team before the operation. And she was called to the front of the church, just in front of the altar, and the men in the congregation were invited, if they wanted to come up, lay hands on her head, and pray for her. And so she went up there, the men went up there, we put our hands on her head and we prayed. And when she went into the hospital the next day, they found that all the cancer had gone. I know that's true because I was one of those men and we witnessed it. And that's moved me. And I still get moved and I think about it.
Thank you very much, John. I mean, it's amazing to hear testimonies of things that have happened within our church here. David?
It's not working, I don't think, at the moment.
We had a red light. Hopefully you were able to hear what John was saying about praying for someone who had cancer. Is there anybody else that would be happy to just share a moment of their story?
Many years ago, I was having a discussion with the people of the church, just a group of us, and we were discussing the place where the Bible says you cannot please God unless you receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, we were wondering what this really meant, you know. We had a visiting speaker who had heard what was going on, and he said to me, "Do you want to receive the Holy Spirit?" So I said, "Yes." So he put his hand on my forehead and prayed in tongues, and I fell to the ground. Somebody caught me, luckily, and all I felt was this tremendous feeling of peace. I never felt it before. Just peace. And of course, Jesus said, "Peace be with you," didn't he? Next morning, I woke up, looked to the Bible, and it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I found that I could speak in tongues as well. Don't do it very often, but I can do it. And a number of people in this church can do it too. And that was Mike's encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you very much, David, for sharing that. Would anybody else like to share anything that they've experienced with God? Yes, Sally.
At the age of 34, I worked at Wilkinson Sword, and there was a lovely lady there I used to talk to, and she told me on the second Saturday of each month, she used to go to a club, and it was called the Disabled Friendship Club. They had arms missing, they had fingers missing, they were blind, they were deaf, they had all sorts of things. And I went. Now, the first time I went, I was told to get there at 2 o'clock. It turned out it was their birthday, and they had someone coming in to cater who had no idea what I was doing there. Anyway, I then met the leader, Mrs. Darby. Now, she was a force to be reckoned with. And she accepted me and said, yes, I had to be there every second Saturday, and I had to make sandwiches and talk to people and go around and do everything. We went on tours, we went on everything. We had the time of our lives. But then, as always, the helpers were all in their 70s, 80s. They started to die. But gradually, more people came in, and the club really took off, and we got to quite a nice number. At that time, Wickham District Council got ward money, and they liked us. And so each year, when they'd given all their money out, they used to give it to us. So every time we were short of money, I said, "Could we get some ward money, God?" And this money used to come in, which saw us through. We were at a hall, as you go behind Next, or what used to Primark, there was a big hall, can't remember its name, I should do. And it was sold to the King's Church. And the proviso was that they allowed us to use the back door, which was West End Street. They would not let us use this. I fought them with the Bible, with the widow that kept going to the judge and pleading and pleading and pleading. And in the end, the judge said, "I'm so fed up with her, I'll give in." They didn't. They didn't give in at all. But God found us a new place at the Church of St. John. It was the church with the green dome. And we lived there very happily for about 15 years. Now we are at Green Street School. And through it all, when we've been broke, when we had no money, I've just said to God, "Help," and help's come. And we're not as big as we used to be, but we are a happy club. that supports each other, and it's all through him. And the joy it's given me, it's been wonderful. And I've now got Peter, and they all get a decent cup of tea now.
That's brilliant. I love it when there are instances where God is providing for different things. When I was at London School of Theology, there used to be big arguments about money. And one of the faculty stood up and said, look, if we're running this as a business, it's never going to work. It's only when God's providing that the money will come in and things will keep going. And God is always more faithful and generous than often we can expect or imagine. We just have to pray and move and live and step out in faith. Sometimes that's a scary place to be. Sometimes it's a really comforting, peaceful place to be. But God is present with us. Would anyone else like to share anything that comes to their minds? Wave at me if so. Yes. Thank you.
In my church in London a long time ago, I found myself at the funeral of one of our members, who was a really extraordinary lady, and the funeral was very moving, and I sort of found myself getting very deep into thought and into prayer and thinking. And I was pregnant at the time with, I was pregnant at the time, but I didn't quite know it. Before that, I'd had Maya, our eldest. Before I had Maya, we'd suffered a miscarriage, which was very difficult for us. And during this funeral, I found the message coming to me very strongly from God: you are going to be tested. And it was quite frightening. It was quite scary. And I thought, I wonder if that's going to happen to me again. I'm going to have to deal with that again. And that was the sort of sense that I came away with. And so I was quite frightened at the time. It wasn't really a comforting message from God. And then I found out later after that that I was actually pregnant with the twins, who are now 18, and who are baptized here. And so the test was not what I had thought it would be, and was really like an amazing gift from God. But that day, it wasn't that clear to me. So I think sometimes it can be that, like, our message from God is we can be scared by it sometimes, but we don't necessarily know what it means in the moment, and it's only afterwards that we know that he is with us and knows us properly. Hopefully that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because it brings to home to us the reality that God steps into the midst of the grittiness and the difficulties of our lives. And that actually our faith is not just angels sitting on clouds playing lutes and harps. It is God himself stepping into the midst of our lives in many different ways. And that presence of God with us is far more precious than a philosophical or artistic ideal. It's the truth of being known and being loved and being shaped and being held, often through even more difficult things afterwards, rather than simply being set free from them. Does anyone else want to add something in? It's no pressure, just if you would like to. Sorry, there's one over here. Sorry, someone waved over here and I didn't see him. Sorry, Tim.
Thank you, Samuel. my thought is this. I was thinking we were learning a new hymn this morning, and it brought back memories to me of how God can put things in your heart, and that many years later you realize why they were put there. And I was brought up by Christian parents, and every year we'd be taken off to a Christian hotel in Lowestoft. And on the Sunday night, the proprietor would always end up the community singing by calling his son up to play a tune on the piano, and then we all sang it. And that hymn stayed with me for many years. It was "The Day Thou Gavest." And many years later, I had the responsibility, I think some of you know this, for producing the Festival of Remembrance at the Albert Hall every year. And with that role, you have a lot of responsibility. In fact, you can virtually choose what goes into the service. And I recall thinking the first time I did, well, this is amazing, because I can put my favorite hymns in and what have you. But at the end of it, I had The Day Thou Gavest, and we had it for quite a few years, actually. But when I look back on it, there in the Albert Hall with 6,000-7,000 people, millions of people around the world on television, the massed bands of the guards, the chorus, the royal family, and they're all there. And if I may just read the last verse of that hymn, which I just prepared. So be it, Lord, thy throne shall never, like earth's proud empires, pass away. Thy kingdom stands and grows forever, till all thy creatures own thy sway. Singing that with the royal family, all the military there, what a wonderful thing. The Lord had put that in my heart many years ago as a little boy, and it came out many years later. Strange ways that God works.
Seeds which are planted take time to grow, but grow they do, and the harvest belongs to God alone. And we have here in our reading examples of this kind of faith that are examples of our kinds of faith. It's amazing to me that Jesus ends his conversation with Peter, having said, Peter, do you love me? He says, come and follow me. Almost the last words that he says in the Gospel of John, and almost the first words he said when John the Baptist points him out and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A couple of John's disciples follow Jesus to see where he's going, and Jesus turns around and says, what are you looking for? And they say, Master, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. The beginning of the gospel is come and see. The ending of the gospel is come and follow me. And that is our story here in this church in St. Margaret's, as it has been for 170 years and as it will be for many years into the future. We've heard a beautiful handful of stories, but each of us have our own journeys and stories and conversations. And I hope that over coffee and in fellowship and friendship in the weeks to come, we can keep on having this conversation, encouraging one another, reminding each other. Because sometimes you can have a really powerful experience with God, and then time later, find yourself still struggling and need to be reminded of what God has already done in your life. And we can't be reminded if we don't share. If we don't share, we find ourselves becoming alone and afraid. But when we are together, and we build each other up with encouragement and love and point each other's hearts and minds and eyes towards Jesus Christ, who says, come and follow me, we can follow him into places we might not even have imagined. And so let us gather together for Holy Communion in a short while, remembering what great witness of all the angels and revelation that we have heard read, where the whole company of heaven, filled with the stories of what God has done, worships him together. Blessing and honor and glory and power be his forever and ever. Amen. Would you please stand as together we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us sit or kneel as we come to a time of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, let us be inspired by Jesus' drive to forgive, to see good in us and to put us to work for his mission. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And let us admire Saul, in a dramatic moment forced to see the error of his ways, but as Paul, accepting his conversion with a lifelong passion. Lord, in your mercy, in our more humble lives, Lord, help us see and accept when we have strayed from your ways. And let us take energy from our own conversion to do good works in your name. Lord, in your mercy, when we look at our troubled world, Lord, we see influential people too afraid to do the right thing, to know right from wrong, to stand up against tyrants. Take the scales from their eyes, Lord. Let them see the true way and have the courage to stand up for and fight for it. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, courage is contagious. Let the few courageous people who speak out against wrong inspire the many to follow in their footsteps. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, let us pray for the hostages in Gaza and the thousands of innocent lives taken by the merciless bombing there. Give the world the courage to see and speak out against the evil and hatred on both sides. Lord, in your mercy. And let us take a moment to pray for all those known to us who are facing difficulties at this time. We also remember those from our church community who have been lost to us in recent times. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Having heard some stories of God with us, let us sing a new hymn and praise him together with song number 870, "Jesus is the Name We Honor." You spread before us the table of life and give us the cup of salvation to drink. Keep us always in the fold of our Saviour and our Shepherd, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated as our service continues on page 5. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Merciful Father, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Good Shepherd, and in his love for us to lay down his life and rise again. Keep us always under his protection, and give us grace to follow in his steps through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, before we bring our service to a close, we're going to stand and sing with joyful hearts and voices that great hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, number 466.
Thank you.
various other ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. It is a real delight to be able to share our services together, and I hope that today, having heard pockets of stories from within our congregation, we are reminded that our faith is ours, something that we share and move and live within together. And so as we go out this day to enjoy the sunshine and the week ahead, let us go out in friendship and fellowship to share our faith with one another, but also with our friends and our family, and dare I even say it, the occasional stranger as well. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Come on.